Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from the Old and New Testaments and a reflection. Our readings today are taken from 2 Chronicles 13, beginning at verse 1, and Mark 14, verses 43 to 52. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled, We Have a Message.
Computer. There we go. So, celebrating Nicholas Ridley and Hugh Latimer, they're quite known to me in a sense of they are Ridley is linked to Ridley Hall, where I trained as to become a vicar, and so their story is well known in that environment, and so they were burned at the stake for their belief, Protestant belief at the time when Bloody Mary was in power. And of course, there was the struggles between the Catholic and the Protestant. But it's interesting, I'll leave it there because I think the reading in the Old Testament has something linked to that as we're going to explore the clashes of the two kingdoms, the North and the South. And there was the clashes of two ideas at the time. So we'll leave it for that and remember those who, with their life, paid a high price for the message of the Gospels to be proclaimed. Thank you. So our Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Chronicles, and we are in a time of where in Israel, there were two kingdoms, Northern Kingdom and the kingdom centered around Jerusalem, and quite a lot of problems and tensions between those two kingdoms.
In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, Abijah began to reign over Judah. He reigned for 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Micaiah, daughter of Urio of Gibeah. Now there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah engaged in battle, having an army of valiant warriors, 400,000 picked men. And Jeroboam drew up his line of battle against him with 800,000 picked mighty warriors. Then Abijah stood on the slope of Mount Zamaraim, that is the hill country of Ephraim, and said, "Listen to me, Jeroboam, and all Israel. Do you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingship over Israel forever to David and his sons by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, son of Nebat, a servant of Solomon, son of David, rose up and rebelled against his Lord. And certain worthless scoundrels gathered round him and defiled Rehoboam, son of Solomon. When Rehoboam was young and irresolute and could not withstand them. And now you think that you can withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David, because you're a great multitude and have with you the golden calves that Jeroboam made as gods for you. Have you not driven out the priests of the Lord, the descendants of Aaron and the Levites, and made priests for yourself like the peoples of other lands? Whoever comes to be consecrated with a young bull or seven rams becomes a priest of what are no gods, but as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not abandoned him. We have priests ministering to the Lord who are descendants of Aaron and Levites for their service. They offer to the Lord every morning and every evening burnt offerings and fragrant incense, set out the rows of bread on the table of pure gold and care for the golden lampstead so that its lamps may burn every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but you have abandoned him. See, God is with us at our head, and his priests have their battle trumpets to sound the call of battle against you. O Israelites, do not fight against the Lord, God of your ancestors, for you cannot succeed. Jeroboam had sent an ambush around to come on them from behind. Thus his troops were in front of Judah, and the ambush was behind them. When Judah turned, the battle was in front of them and behind them. They cried out to the Lord, and the priests blew the trumpets. Then the people of Judah raised the battle shout, and when the people of Judah shouted, God defeated Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. The Israelites fled before Judah, and God gave them into their hands. Abijah and his army defeated them with great slaughter. 500,000 picked men of Israel fell slain. Then the Israelites were subdued at that time, and the people of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord and the God of their ancestors. Abijah pursued Jeroboam and took cities from him, Bethel with its villages, and Jasenah with its villages, and Ephraim with its villages. Jeroboam did not recover its power in the days of Abijah. The Lord struck him down and he died. But Abijah grew strong. He took 14 wives and became the father of 22 sons and 16 daughters. The rest of the acts of Abijah, his behavior and his deeds, are written in the story of the prophet Iddo. So Abijah slept with his ancestors, and they buried him in the city of David. His son Asa succeeded him. In his days, the land had rest for 10 years. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So we have our New Testament reading then taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 43 to 52.
Immediately, while Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you come with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So yeah, we celebrate those two figures of history, Ridley and Latimer. And I thought maybe the choice of the passage was quite relevant is that we have a story of two clashes, two kingdom in that Old Testament. And of course, in the time of Reformation was a time of clashes, a desire, a recognition that the church wasn't where it was supposed to be, and coming back to scripture and finding in scripture how we were supposed to live, that it was by faith, that we receive God's grace and righteousness, not through works of righteousness, that those were the fruits. And so there was this, in a sense, simple message, but threatening message to those in power, whether they were political or religious power. And something of the same happens in that Old Testament reading, power issues with wanting to build our own power and a split of Israel's into two kingdoms, a kind of a rebellion of Jeroboam, and who took then part of the north and then the kingdom of descendants of David, that was Jerusalem and Judah. And this great sadness of conflicts and battles, we know that well too much. But there was a thought of, I would say, justice or faith. And Abijah is a person who really sought to be faithful to the covenant. And he explained how he put into place the sacrifice and what they found in the law, and had that trust that God was with him. Now, I need to use those words very carefully, but I think in the passage it shows that Jeroboam was very cunning and a deceitful person, calling Abijah to a battle. Okay, let's do a battle. But of course, we hear that he had deceived Abijah by setting up part of his armies behind and in front, believing that that would completely defeat Abijah. And of course, they were 2-1. We hear that I think Abijah was 400,000 and he was 800 or something like that. So a desperate situation for Abijah, who calls out to God, and God hear him and give him victory. And I thought, well, Latimer and Ridley were small in number, just two, and there was a few more that were killed at the stake for their belief and their faith. They didn't seem to have won the battle. They were killed. Their voice seems to have been then squashed. But one of the historical accounts seems to say that one of the last words that Latimer said, which is, we can't prove for certain, but it might make sense because they were not his own words. They were words from a church father from the second or third century, which he knew very well as a teacher of early Christianity. So he might have used his words as his final words on the stake. And he said, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley," that was the other one, "and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as shall never be put out." And what an act of faith. It seems completely defeat. He knew his life would be finished, but he had the faith that if he was doing the right thing and standing for what God wanted, what was kindled in England would never be put out. And in a sense, we are grateful to him, because if we ourselves have come to faith, it is by faith that we are saved, not by works. It is thanks to people like him and the movement at that time that helped the church rediscover what it was to receive the grace of God through faith alone, and to live out our Christian life out of that faith and trust and gratitude. So for me, it was mainly the Old Testament, the New Testament. Maybe there is something for you to comment on. It seems, again, there is a battle, a conflict, and I think the worst kind of betrayal is a betrayal by a kiss. This is like the worst of betrayal. But there is also this sentence, I have no idea, and why is it in Scripture? Why do we have this story of a young man following him, wearing nothing but the linen, and being caught and then having to run naked? I have no idea, but shows that our Scripture describe things as they are, and they don't try to embellish. And there is an event that took place, and it's still in our Scripture 2,000 years after.
I read somewhere that they thought it might have been Mark.
Ah.
I don't know where I read that,
it might
the young Mark
that he refers to himself as he wrote.
I've no idea. I mean, I don't know where I read it, but
yeah,
possibly.
It would make sense that that people of the time would have recognized. Oh, we know he's the author, but he doesn't want to name himself.
Anyway.
Goodness. Anything else otherwise in the New Testament or Old Testament?
Well, I suppose it's the obvious thing, isn't it? We just see it in the Middle East now, don't we? You know, in a different format, but we just don't ever seem to learn, do we?
I was thinking much the same, Lynn. It's still knowing how to word it, but I was thinking it's still going on today. Yeah, different format, but yeah.
Yeah, it just seems to be in man, doesn't it? Because it's not just in the Middle East, is it? It's, it's Russia. Over. Russia and Ukraine,
The trouble is, it's what worries me is they worries a lot of people, but you think you're making steps to sort of get better, but then there's something that you think, oh, I don't know, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so prayers have to be for peace and for the politicians.
Yeah, definitely.
And there is a line of thought that Jesus says, I haven't come to bring peace. in a sense, standing for truth and the faith will bring conflict. We know that did bring conflict in the early church, where people who accepted him as Messiah would have been banned from their family or banned from the synagogue. And we see that among countries with different religion, when people talk to Christ, they might be banned by the community because of their faith. So there is a spiritual conflict that we know, and
we're so lucky in this country, aren't we? We don't have to sort of study the word in private and all behind closed doors. You know, we can be out in the open and say what
we're feeling. But men and women died for us to have that in years gone by. You know, you just sort of think parts of the world are like 500 years behind us. You know, 500 years. You know, we were pretty awful, weren't we? And I think, for me, I think we need to be careful not to sit back and think, you know, we don't need to fight for our faith.
Yeah,
when actually, we absolutely have to. It's just a different sort of warfare without being too, you know, over the top.
Yeah,
in your face.
But I've sort of called my Christianity over the years a comfortable Christianity that I've kept to myself. And I'm not so sure if, you know, now we need to actually, you know, proclaim our faith in the way that Christ would want us. We mustn't be silent and feel secure in what we've got, because it's when you put your defences down that we'll be attacked, or we are attacked. So we must stand. We must stand for our belief and for our faith.
I think people can perhaps see something in you that they don't see in someone else, or that if they've got trouble, they'll perhaps come to you. But I agree, it's us taking that little step out a bit more and sort of, you know,
and doing it in a gracious way, way that the Lord would want us, you know. But not to keep silent if you disagree. It's not about disagreeing agreeably, which is the sort of in word. It's you know, speak up.
Good. Well, let's pray for the life of the church, and especially in its call to be a witness of Christ in all seasons, in seasons of challenges, but also in seasons of plenty. And what does it mean to be faithful? Jesus, this morning we quiet our thoughts and our hearts to allow your Spirit to speak to us through those readings and through this liturgy. We think of our two brothers, Latimer and Ridley, brothers that we will see one day, and what a joy it will be for coming to them with gratitude that they were willing to even put their own life to the stake, literally, for a message that was too important to not speak out. And Lord, that's what we've reflected. We have a message that is too important not to speak out. And Lord, we need wisdom to, when we need to speak this out, with sensitivity, being ready to share the hope we have. But in some seasons, sometimes this message needs to be spoken loud and clear with courage. Even if that means oppositions. For you, Jesus, it meant condemnation and death on the cross. And you know all about betrayal by your own followers, the ones you taught and loved and sought to protect and to guide, yet he turned against you with a kiss. And Lord, in one way, we are not different. At one point in our lives, and sometimes even as your disciple, we can turn away from you. Sometimes our faith becomes more about following a tradition, acting out, and that must feel for you like a betraying kiss. So Lord, clean our hearts afresh, our minds, that we may serve you with passion, with freedom, and with truth.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.